One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello, my friends. Simon Miller from What Culture Wrestling, as you know. But you're like, why are you in a weird white room? I haven't been committed. That will happen in a couple of years. But of course, the What Culture crew have come to WrestleMania in Philadelphia. Never been to Philadelphia. Very excited. Born and raised, whatever the song was from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I can't remember. You know the lyrics. You can say it in the comments. But we have all just been sat around television watching AEW Dynamite, which is always cool, because obviously we're going to do that in the UK. You have to get up on the crack of dawn. And I usually watch it on Fight TV. So get it and check it out on TBS? Not TBS. It's TBS. Used to be TNT, now it's TBS. I always find very exciting. Now, you know the deal with this. Throughout the week, we'll go outdoors and we'll do some out there. And I've got it on my phone because it's not going to be like the usual ups and downs because we are on tour. But there is a lot of talking points from this episode of Dynamite. So make sure you get in the comments below and let me know your thoughts. And it starts basically with a big rebuttal to everything that has been going on this week. You essentially had to have seen the CM Punk interview with Ariel Helwani. I don't want to touch on that too much. I know the guys have talked about it, so you can get the information there. But essentially, Adam Copeland comes out and he talks about the fact, man, there's been a lot of negativity this week, but I want to be a positive Pete. So straight away, I was like, man, you and me, Copeland, we're walking up the same alley. And he just talked about it. He's going to retire in AEW. He's loving AEW. If you kind of pushed him for an answer, he thinks right now he's having more fun than he's ever had in his career. And he ran through a bunch of wrestlers that he will fight at one point, and every single one of them is going to be a first time match. Now, one of the people he kept mentioning was Will Ospreay. Now, I know who Will Ospreay is. This is the pot calling the kettle black, because the amount of times I've screwed up people's names on ups and downs, but these things make me giggle. And when things make me giggle, that's also a good thing. Now, usually I don't go on the internet until I've actually done my ups and downs videos, because I think sometimes your brain can kind of be swayed by what people are saying. There are a lot of people going, oh, AEW shouldn't have responded to this, and they shouldn't worry what CM Punk had to say. But the thing is, if they don't do anything, you then get a bunch of people going, oh, they're ignoring it, I can't believe it. Adam Copeland is a veteran of this sport, right? He's a legend. He is quite literally a Hall of Famer. So I think having nice, happy, good words coming out of his mouth and essentially standing there with his TNT Championship, which, by the way, teleported in from the Starship Enterprise. He even said, I haven't got my belt. Then Will Ospreay came out and he had his belt, but that's just teasing. Maybe we'll do that match down the line. So look, I am never going to get mad at somebody wanting to just remind us that when we watch wrestling, we are watching it for entertainment. And even if it is a company that's just putting on good matches, that to me sounds like a nice alternative. And I don't have to worry about TV ratings or attendances or finances. That sounds really boring. Much rather worry about the wrestling. So I am going to give it an up. And of course, it meant Will Ospreay was in the ring, and we went right into Will Ospreay versus Powerhouse Hobbs. Now, a lot of people have said this. I don't want to say that it's not your typical Will Ospreay match, because I think when it comes to professional wrestling, you have to be a varied performer, right? You have to be able to take on all shapes and all sizes. That's what makes sports entertainment so good. And as ever, that's exactly what Will Ospreay did. I think Powerhouse Hobbs is vastly underrated. And look, I do admit, maybe in the first few minutes, there are a few spots that, I don't want to say they seem delayed. That doesn't seem very fair. But it found its flow as the match went on. And again, for a good, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, Hobbs was just wrecking this dude. And he's throwing him into Barry Barricade, and he's throwing him into the ring apron. I mean, what have I got down here? Picked up, and Hobbs worked over Will's midsection. There you go. There's some deep notes from me, Simon Miller. But then Will Ospreay works his way back into it and gives him this hidden blade. Now, look, you don't know what actually happens in the wrestling ring, but I swear, when he gave him that hidden blade and he pinned him for the 1-2-3, he may have whispered to Powerhouse Hobbs, sorry about that, bro, hit you a little bit too hard. But I actually, it's not the best match we have seen of Will Ospreay's in AEW. But then again, the first one was against Takeshita, which was amazing. And then he took on What's his name? Phil, you're behind the camera. I can't remember his name because I'm totally jet-lagged right now. The Aussie Open guy, Carl Fletcher. Do you know how bad that is? Carl Fletcher's been really nice to me my entire wrestling career. It's only because I'm jet-lagged, just in case Carl Fletcher ever sees. But I don't want to say they are more the quintessential Will Ospreay opponent, but this is the first time he's working a guy maybe he doesn't have much history with, and you have to offer us something different. You don't want to see powerhouse Will Hobbs doing Hurricane Ranas or Spanish Flies. You want to see him being a big man slapping man meat, and I thought we got that here. I suppose if I was going to come up with one criticism, Powerhouse Hobbs deserves more, because what usually happens is he gets a little bit of momentum, then it gets stopped, he gets a little bit of momentum. I can't even remember the last big win he had. We probably need to fix that. It could be against Mir from Miro, which was basically all in from last year, and I would know about that because I was a security guard, did a terrible job. But for this match, I'm going to give it an up, and I do believe we planted a seed, because Don Callis was on commentary after this, you know, Don Callis family members. He gets in the ring, he tries to hold both of their hands up, and Hobbs kind of got mad and he stormed off. Now, once again, we did this when he was in Team Taz, and we did it when he was in Cutie Martial's group, so if we aren't going to pull the trigger on it this time, I think Powerhouse Will Hobbs, really going into the summer, has to be someone we focus on. But again, I'm waiting to see where it does go. I'm willing to be patient, and I'm going to give it an up. And of course, right away, Bryan Danielson comes out. He looks at Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay looks at him because things are getting super serious. And the only crazy thing is, what date are we on exactly right now? It is the 3rd of April, as I'm talking to you. So we've got 3 weeks at least before Dynasty. I'm not really sure what else we can do with these two guys, although I like the story. I didn't actually clock this at first, because once again, I'm the tiredest man on the planet, but we just seen a bigger guy taking on, I suppose, a littler guy. And here, who was Bryan Danielson taking on? It was Lance Archer. Now, that ties into Collision, because you had all the stuff with the BCC and the Righteous, but once again, it's whatever you can do, I can do better. Bryan Danielson taking on the bigger guy in Lance Archer, and this is why Archer needs to be on the program more. At one point, he just grabbed some random dude who was at ringside and he hurled him into Bryan Danielson. This really made me laugh. Do you remember sort of in the early days of AEW when Lance Archer would throw people through the roof? This is the kind of unhinged nonsense that I totally need. Now, you know what Bryan Danielson's like. He's the most selfless wrestler of all time. He gave Lance loads here. At one point, he was just getting his ass kicked. And so, again, if you want to come up with something that was we'll call it a minor criticism, it kind of felt like a copy and paste job from the first match, but on one hand, it was meant to, for the reason we've already talked about, but I suppose maybe we could have shifted it a few matches in. But then you don't get the stare off between Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson, which I think that you do need. I just think Lance Archer could probably be used more. I think he brings a certain intensity to his big man role. And Bryan Danielson, as he does head into semi-retirement, which I think we all assume will happen after the Wembley show, he's just one of the best wrestlers ever. And he's just picking a bunch of dudes that he wants to fight, and he's having banger matches. You should go and watch his multi-man tag he did in CMLL last weekend. And on Friday, he's got another one. So let's not forget, he went to Mexico, then he came back to Collision, and now he's doing this. I think that's awesome. And if you care about the finish, Archer goes to the blackout. Bryan Danielson gets out of it, hits him with a big knee, and he gets the 1-2-3. And as I've told you 1,000 times, if something rhymes, then we must have done something right, so it's going to get an up. However, now we switch gears a little bit. I've talked about this before, and I'm happy for you to tell me in the comments, Simon, you don't know what you're talking about, but Chris Jericho comes out. Now, I do think he is aware of the reactions that he's getting, because one, maybe my brain is deceiving me here, I think he came out of the heel tunnel. Usually I would rewind to watch this, but watching it on live TV, and he's now lent so heavily into the Lionheart Chris Jericho stuff, he has transitioned away from, I don't know, Fozzy Chris Jericho, I don't know what we call him, and the tease seems to be that he doesn't really trust Hook, but he respects him. And Hook knows that Chris Jericho is a dastardly person, so he doesn't trust him either. So he calls out Hook. We did the bat sign symbol thing again, which I massively appreciate. And Hook basically says, I'm in charge of this. I'm the captain of this ship. And I've actually booked us a match for Collision. So they're going to do their tag team thing again. When we cut to Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty, they're like, whoa, we'll take you on. And it's just all so random. I don't really understand where it's going. Now, you would presume, well, here are the two lanes I presume we can go in, right? One, they're just a really good tag team and they go on to become tag team champions, which I actually think I would prefer, just because the other path is Chris Jericho turns on Hook or Hook turns on Chris Jericho and they have a feud. I don't think I really need to see that, because that's kind of been the beat for Chris Jericho since he arrived at AEW. Now, it was been fine for ages, but there is the law of diminishing returns. I just kind of feel like maybe we need to do something massively different with Jericho right now. And look, there's no way he doesn't know about this. Again, if I'm wrong, I sound like an idiot, that's fine. That's been my entire life. I'm 99% sure he came out of the bad guy tunnel. He's meant to be a good guy, so he probably is going to screw Hook and go heel. But you can't like every single thing that is on wrestling TV. I say this all the time. It's just getting it down. It's just nothing for me. It doesn't click, and I find it a bit confusing.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stresses. They can be big life worries, or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
Which actually ties into the next match too. I don't remember the order, hence why I have to look at my phone. Danny Ass versus Jay White. Now look, we got to give all the props in the world to Billy Gunn. He's 60 years old and he looks like that. It's incredible. Doesn't make any sense. The man is 2+2=potato personified. But Jay White, I have felt over the last few weeks, has been a man renewed. Ever since we separated the Bang Bang Gang from the Acclaimed, I'm like, yes. And I'm hoping when we get to Dynasty, it hasn't been announced as of yet, I don't think, we unite or we merge the six-man Ring of Honor and the six-man AEW titles and just have one set of trios belts. But you can't get away from the fact that Daddy Ass is 60. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's an inspirational thing to be able to do. But my word, he kicked Jay White's ass to the point they fought into the crowd, right? And he threw a bin at him. Now, when you're throwing a bin at someone, you've essentially done everything. And you've got Jay White hiding behind security guards. He didn't take any of this. And then eventually, let me just make sure I get this right. So Billy Gunn hits two famouses. So I guess we're meant to presume that he's essentially squashed Jay White. He goes to get a chair. When all of a sudden the guns rush to the ring, they're like, no, Dad, please don't do it. We love you so much. And then Jay White punches him right in the penis. That's what happened. Don't get mad at me. And it's a disqualification. Now, I had two issues with this. I'm doing it again. One, we should have given Jay White more of this match. And really, he should have just beaten Billy Gunn in like 2 minutes. Billy Gunn is a big deal. He's a big superstar. And because he is so jacked, it would have allowed sort of Jay White to have his momentum. But also, I just AEW never does shenanigan finishes, which I'm a huge fan of. And it means when you get a count out, or you get a draw, you get a disqualification, it's like, oh my gosh. But here I just felt like, it was just the strangest. It was the strangest match. And look, of course, the guns then attack and out come the Acclaim. So we're building to the trios match that we will do in Dynasty. And I think they'll have a great match. I'm a huge fan of both teams. This one didn't make sense to me. And again, I'm stupid, right? I've got a stupid brain. You can point me in the right direction in the comments, but I do think it has to get it down. Just two very strange back-to-back segments in the sense that I think you've got really compelling characters, But we just jump on it, right? Jay White is the young, not young, upcoming star. He's already established. You know what I'm saying? He's got a massive upside. Just have him dog Billy Gunn. He's Billy Gunn. It's not going to make a massive difference. But we then kind of did switch gears, because out came Willow Nightingale, and she was with Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway. I don't know, and again, I could be wrong here, but I don't think we've ever given Willow Nightingale this much promo time before. We don't even need to get into it, because she was just so happy and she was so excited. I think at one point she said mother flipping, which I'm a big fan of, take swear words and make them YouTube friendly. But she's just such a nice person, and you can't fake that. That just resonates through the screen and it makes you feel emotional as well. And when she started to say, I'm going to go to the pay-per-view and I'm going to beat Julia Hart for the TBS title, that's what has to happen. And I think Julia Hart is sort of the rookie of the year in terms of 2023. So there's nothing against her, but we have to let Willow Nightingale cut more promos like this. You could even say that she didn't say, well, you know, there was some substance to what she did say. She's like, oh my gosh, I love this town. I was born in this town. You know, I made my name in this town. I've got fans in this town. Everyone was going crazy. But she could have stood there and told me a pizza order. And I would have been like, oh, Willow Nightingale, I want you to have the best damn pizza ever. She just has a way about her, and we have to capitalize on that. And I presume we will, because eventually Mercedes Moné comes out. She does her CEO dance, which she enjoys doing. And she basically tells us at Double or Nothing, which is the next pay-per-view after Dynasty, I will take on the winner of this match. Let Willow Nightingale win. And then, look, even if we do get to Double or Nothing and Mercedes beats Willow, make sure there's a plan for Willow, but I understand Mercedes in your star. I enjoyed all of this, and it's mostly, I think Mercedes Moné is great, and Chris Statlander stood there dressed like she was Willow Nightingale's bodyguard, and Stokely Hathaway is an absolute all-timer. This is getting an up just because, surprise, surprise, it made me feel warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum, and I'm excited to see what we do with this. We have something Willow Nightingale. I think I'm going to be proven right. That's how confident I am. We then got back to the tag team tournament, the best friends taking on the Young Bucks. I suppose there wasn't that much jeopardy in this. I don't think anybody thought the Young Bucks were going to lose this. I think most of us presume the final will be FTR versus the Young Bucks. Fine by me. You know, they have a deep history. I thought the match was fine, which probably sounds more negative than I mean it to be. But maybe it's just because of the body of work that they've done before. They didn't really get to that gear that I assumed they would do. But actually, none of it mattered at all. There were some really fun spots in this. There was one point where Matt Jackson was going to super kick Sue, who had come out with Trent. And he stopped, and Sue, I hope intentionally, gave him the worst slap ever, to the point Matt Jackson just sold it with, like, disappointment. Like, what did you do that for? That's no fun. It was a good near fall as well when the Young Bucks went for the EVP trigger. I have to find it in my notes now, which I probably should have done before I started talking. But it was just good. Anyway, at one point, the Young Bucks exposed the turnbuckle. Trent goes into that. Matt Jackson hits the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment. The surprise roll-up. He holds the tights, and he gets the 1-2-3. Now, one of the reasons that I've zoomed through all of that is because we did what I am predicting was going to happen on this show for a while. So it always pleases me when I do get it right. I ring my mum later, and she won't care. But Chucky T, who was on the outside, gets in. He's like, boys, it's going to be okay. Just do the best friend's hug. And in front of his own mother, which is the greatest thing ever, Trent decides, all right, I'll go for the big cuddle. He changes his mind. He smashes Orange Cassidy right in the head. Poor Sue doesn't know what to make of this. She bore this man onto the planet, and now he's doing terrible things. I'm not 100% sure what Chucky T's reaction was meant to be. He was either confused or he was thinking about what he was going to have for dinner. Maybe he was like, maybe I've left the oven on. That's totally irrelevant. I think it's kind of nice there is a question mark over his head. Maybe we turn Trent and Chucky T heel. Why the hell not? Chucky T is a good heel. He's really, really funny. But look, it makes all the sense in the world, because even if it's by accident, which it was, or by happenstance, Orange Cassidy has been mugging him off. I'll take Trent Orange Cassidy all day. And also, the best friends have just come to the end of their tether. Anyway, this was a really well done angle. And even though I knew it was going to happen eventually, and especially when Chuck was like, we should do the big thing. Again, it's one of those things where you want it to happen because it is so obvious. It's totally getting it up. It was really, really good. Really, really well done. We then got to the number one contenders match, Thunder Rosa versus Mariah May. The match was okay, but it was completely overshadowed by Tony Storm on commentary. There were two things I wanted to mention. At one point, she was like, yes, that's right, Mariah May. Wrestle harder, which is an amazing thing to say. I'm going to start using it in my matches. But she also had the line, I'm so going to screw this up. But she said something along the lines of, Mariah May wrestles like a young Tony Storm, whereas Thunder Rosa wrestles like an old Thunder Rosa. It's just a horrible thing to say, but genuinely funny, especially because Tony Schiavone and Taz were definitely trying not to laugh. When that happens on TV and people break, I laugh as well. Once again, there wasn't that much jeopardy here. We are going to do the Mariah May versus Toni Storm match at some point, but Thunder Rosa has been on a roll. She had Wolverine gear on too, which I thought really cool. Here's the Tijuana bomb, which actually did come out of nowhere, and she got the 1-2-3, and then Toni Storm's all like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, because she thought I protege. Well, actually, this is why it's quite a good finish, because she thought Toni Storm was going to win and protect her title, so Mariah May's going to win. And now that she hasn't, Toni Storm can be like, well, you let me down. They fall out. I don't think Thunder Rosa will win the title of the pay-per-view, but then you can go into the Mariah May thing after that, and then maybe we get to Mercedes Moné. I don't know. It was okay. It did the job. I'm going to give it an up. From nowhere, Penta and Alex Abrahantes just appeared on the screen. They were like, whoa, Edge. Adam Copeland didn't say Edge. Adam Copeland stopped fighting people outside of AEW, which is a bit of a stretch. He's only fought one person, which was Matt Cardona. Anyway, next week is going to be Penta versus Adam Copeland, which again ties in. Adam Copeland said he wanted to fight these guys. And I'd be happy for him to go on a run. Let's say over the next month. I know he's got that six-man tag. But let's say over the next month he fights, I don't know, Penta, and then he takes on, Will, not Will Ospreay, that's too soon. But even if we did do that, and then we ended with him taking on Malakai Black, which also makes sense, it's fine by me. Adam Copeland himself says he doesn't have that much longer left in wrestling, not in life. I don't mean it like that. So just give me all the matches, because why not? That's been the big talking point this week. Oh, man. AEW just a company that gives us good matches. Great! Got no problem with it whatsoever. But you do get angles, which is why the last thing we saw on Dynamite was our contract signing, Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland. Now look, contract signings are way overdone in wrestling. We all know that. But when you have two dudes like this spitting fire, I think I'm going to get this wrong because I wrote it down really, really quickly. But it's to the point I can't even say it now. It shocked me. I made noises like a frat boy. Like, oh, I can't believe he said that. Essentially, Samoa Joe said to Swerve Strickland, I'm going to beat you down so bad it will scar you like you left a P. Diddy party too late. We can't even talk about that on this show. We can't even talk about it. We'd have to use the word allegedly, and we'd have to talk about lawsuits. But it sent everybody nuts, and it sent everybody nuts in the hotel room, or what do you call it, Airbnb in Philadelphia too. There was also a chance for MJF, which is very interesting, because that guy started to tweet again, so I don't know whether that was intentional or not. But the idea is that Samoa Joe thinks Swerve Strickland is out of his depth. If he signs that contract, he's going to be totally screwed. Of course, eventually they do start to fight. Swerve tries to use the chain to underline that he is a crazy guy and he is a killer. But Samoa Joe, at least in this instance, he's more of a killer. He gets this chain. He absolutely batters Swerve. Just punching him right in the head. Strickland starts to bleed. Samoa Joe walks off like, I told you, I've done my job. You're totally toast at the pay-per-view. When Swerve gets the mic, he's like, that's all you've got. I'm definitely going to be the champion. When he did, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. The wrestling classic, he took the pen, he dipped it in his own blood, and he signed the deal. Now, Dynamite could have gone off air then. That's a pretty good closing angle. I like it. But no, Samoa Joe was so mad. He walked back to the ring after this. He also booted Swerve right in the balls when he gave him a Uranagi through the table, and he held the belt up with his foot on Swerve Strickland's chest. So, of course, look, at Dynasty, Swerve Strickland is going to become the brand new AEW champion. And what I would do is, by that point, Will Ospreay, is totally more over than he is now, which is not going to be hard. People absolutely love him. Do Swerve versus Will Ospreay at All In at Wembley and have Will win. And look, that's not a knock on Swerve or anything like that. I think he should be a 2-time, 3-time, 4-time AEW champion. But sometimes when the path is just there, let's get everybody over and let's build, ironically, a dynasty of world champions, and we can throw that belt around. So that is going to get an up. I thought that was a really, really strong way to end Dynamite. Although, I don't know whether anybody else got this. It said something at the end. A logo popped up that said AEW broadcast over. Never seen that before in my life. But I will admit, it was a very, ironically, works for me, it was a very up and down episode of Dynamite. Some of the matches didn't really click in the way, and it was oddly structured. I actually think some matches were too long. Like, I think Daddy Ass and Jay White could have been cut down, as could the Bryan Danielson match, maybe just a little bit. But I think the good did outweigh the bad, so I am going to give it an up. But yes, a mixed bag, absolutely. I mean, there was definitely some times I was like, man, the flow of the show is a little bit weird, but that's what the comments are for. You have to let me know if I'm right or if I'm wrong. Can't remember if I said this overall is going to get an up. Of course it does, it's me, I always say that. Otherwise, like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Again, go nuts down there, engage with the video. Ups and downs for Raw. will be on the screen, maybe. Who the hell knows? But you can check that out too. Of course, it is WrestleMania weekend, so make sure you check out all our content. And if you do see us walking around and you want to say hello, that would rock as well. And just because everyone keeps asking me, yes, we'll be outside WrestleMania Night 1, and yes, we'll be outside WrestleMania Night 2. We will try not to get arrested. Last year at this time, on Night 2, when Cody Rhodes lost, we almost were incarcerated. So if he loses again, just, it doesn't matter. It's wrestling, right? It's stupid. So everyone has to keep calm. Otherwise, take care. Enjoy the madness. See you soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.